All right, BT and Sal back on the fan. It's 12:02. Back to the Alonzo calls. In a little bit, top story of the day. Hit you with the crown. And I was talking about this to start the show, and I found it really interesting where the amount of pressure that is being attached to Robert Saleh, understandably, is, you know, and it's not going to be comparable, clearly, because Saleh's been here longer, and he's done nothing, but I think Brian Daboll's floating under the radar a little bit here. I think it's like flip a coin. I think Brian Daboll is here for, you know, 10, 12 years and does amazing things and maybe helps the Giants bag another Lombardi, or he doesn't lift up his own personal hood and correct a couple things from a personality point of view that I think he needs to tighten up, and it derails him from being great. It's never going to be a football. Like with Robert Saleh, to me, you've heard me and Sal talk about this. Like, he just has not demonstrated the ability to, at least yet, that he's a good head coach. I mean, when there's the few moments in a big game or a big-ish game for the Jets late, you know, down and distance and timeouts and manipulating that, he has not shown to be very good. He speeds up rather than slows down. And, you know, we talked many times about the Zach Wilson stuff and the press conferences where, you know, he doesn't project the ultimate leadership, which has been a problem so far. Like, who's running the show? Daboll has none of that. Like, Giants are in a tight game. You know the Giants are well coached. Giants have a situation. You know that when he gets to the microphone, he's gonna shut you down. He's not going to be very happy and giddy, and he's not going to mess around, Daboll, but he's going to shut you down in terms of making it a big story, which is great. That's what you got to do in this city. But the wink stuff, the fiery persona, there's a fine line between being intense and being cavalier. And I don't know that he was cavalier a season ago, but he was trending in that direction. The stuff with Wink, the stuff with Shane, having to check on the game day, you know, what's going on, what kind of communication's happening here, some players popping off. There are some situations that need to be fixed. And if they're not, and if the Giants have an average season or a slightly below average season, don't tell me that Daboll can't be in trouble. He could be. 888-808-1019, BT and Sal on the fans. Get back to you as well. So a lot on the Alonzo and his reaction to being dropped in the order. Some of you have taken issue with that. I've defended Pete with this, but and then, of course, the biggest story is Pete's future. What's going on, Kev, up in Rockland? How are you?
Hey, how you doing, BT?
Okay, Kev.
All right, hear me out about this a little bit. I understand that you played the entire quote from Pete, okay? Mm-hmm. And you can manipulate that quote to get that first part in there and have people really screw him.
Yes.
But if you look at everything in total, I don't think he's as much of this team first guy as you say he is. Let me start with the All-Star bit. The only reason he was an All-Star is because they wanted him in the home run derby.
Yes. And yeah, I'm aware of that. We talked about that. Yeah.
And if he was truly a teammate at the time, he should have said, you know, Brandon, Nimmo, and Lindor are having a better year. Take one of them.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep.
And he didn't do that.
I know.
You know, so that's part of it. Plus, how many times are you going to see this guy flail at an outside pitch that's 5 feet off the plate or hit into a double play in a big spot or make some asinine base running move like he did yesterday?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
well, but Kev, hold on a second. Those are baseball things, and that's certainly up to debate and to challenge and to chastise when you have to. I didn't call him a team first guy. I agree with your assertion about the All-Star. Me and Sal talked about that. And there was a window for him to show real leadership and unselfishness, and he didn't. That's where he became a me guy. But I'm just talking about the way the quotes from yesterday have been a little hijacked and I think improperly positioned. I'm just being fair, and I'm defending him with that. But the other stuff, I don't think he's some amazing team player. I don't.
No, and what, as far as the quote, too, and you had said this earlier, and you're correct about this. He's delusional about this stuff because he's not. I mean, I'd rather have a guy who's going to hit .310 and put up the 25 homers and 83 RBIs. That's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But for this guy who's batting average with runners in scoring position is, what, 173 or 175 now?
Yes, below two. It's awful. Awful.
I mean, that's ridiculous. And This guy's playing a position where you need that kind of production. Mm-hmm. And you had a caller a couple minutes ago who said, oh, well, you know what? He's You know, he's right on an average first baseman. That doesn't mean it's good.
Yeah, I know. I know. See, to me, that's an outstanding point. And I don't really put much stock in it. I just kind of move on to something else. Thanks for the call. But a lot of callers have called up and said, come on, he's one of the best first basemen. All right, but the position's down. I mean, it doesn't really, it's not like it's the shortstop position, even though half of those guys were juiced up, where it's, you know, not Jeter, but A-Rod and Nomar and Miguel Tejada and the end of the Ripken era. Like, you know, it's not like it's the glory years here of the golden years of a first baseman, because it's not. So I don't really put a whole lot of stock in that. All right, so Hoff, let me get your opinion on something. Number one, what is a little micro thing, then bigger fish, macro. Number one, so you heard the cut that some people reacted, including Evan. I know Evan took issue with what Pete said yesterday. Then you got a little bit more of the full sample. What was your, as a Mets fan, what was your interpretation of how Pete talked about or what he said yesterday?
Unfortunately, I keep on going back to, I just don't think he's a really great talker.
Yeah.
You know, it takes him a little bit to process. I do think, and I'll defend him here, Scott Boras is his agent, and I think that Scott Boras gets to him and is suggesting certain things to say and pumping him up in certain ways. I put this at, I analyzed it like this. When MMA fighters, a lot of fighters surround themselves with people that are uplifters, because you can't go into a cage and feel like you're not doing well. Otherwise, you're going to get beat every time.
Mm-hmm.
So if you surround yourself with people that are like yes men or people that hype you up, yeah, Pete Alonso's having a good season. He's not having the best, but he's doing well. He's going to have close to 35 home runs this season. So for him, it's okay.
Okay, so you think part of it's, you know, business motivation,
sure.
Forrest in his head. Okay, I think that's a pretty fair representation. Now, bigger picture, you think he's on the Mets next season?
I do. And I'll tell you why. And I don't know the amount of money. I know I said in the beginning of the season that I thought he was going to make over $250 million. But I don't think he's going to make that now, but because it's been...
That's not going to be close to 250. It's going to be under 200 if he's even here.
Here's what it comes down to.
There's no way he's getting that kind of money.
What you said about the position being down?
Yep.
So who's better?
See, but that's the answer that I take issue with, because I think it's the wrong answer, or I think it's the wrong thing to focus on. So to illuminate a weak position, and first base is weak right now, as the means to prop up your guy does not make me excited as a Mets fan. Like, well, who else is really out there? First base is kind of weak, so you're not going to really do better, so let's keep him around 7 years. That's not the way you should handle it.
Well, again, I'm not even going to talk about contract. Right,
I'm just throwing out, you know what I'm saying.
Throw contract aside. If I had a choice, Pete Alonso is going to be the first baseman of the New York Mets for at least next year, maybe even more.
Mm-hmm.
He could just get a qualifying offer.
Yeah,
hey,
he could do this again. That's true.
But here's the thing is, to your point, it's like, oh, yeah, for seven years down the line, yeah, don't you want to improve? Well, but here's the other thing. Next year, are we not going to be trying? Are the Mets not going to try to win? Who's better than Pete Alonso? I still
think Juan Soto is.
At first base? He's playing first base?
No, I'm just talking about a bat.
Well, get both. That should not hinder you getting Juan Soto.
Well, that's true. I mean, you know, Cohen's pockets, that's true. Literally, he's got the means to do it. But you're not getting Soto, so don't start pulling the sound.
You said Soto. Put Soto aside. You just focus on first base.
I throw it out there and I pull it
hey,
back.
Hey, BT, focus focus on first base.
I don't need to. I'm going to tell you why. Because that's the wrong focus again. Honestly.
No, hold on. No, you just asked me a question.
Mm-hmm.
Why should Pete Alonso be back with the team next year?
No.
Because there's no one else better than him anywhere in the system.
I got your answer.
So there you go.
I respect it. I but I don't agree, because I'll tell you why. Because, and I've always said this, I've been consistent with this. I'm looking at building a roster and a lineup, right? I think you missed this. I think Evan misses this. I think everybody misses this, because I've heard Evan go chapter and verse on this, and he never incorporates this, which means he misses it, right? To me, you're never going to, not next year, you're not going to find somebody to either replicate or surpass Pete's power displayed for, I give you that. So now I move on to the next point. But what you could do, and this is what I've always said, with the money, is take it, and now disperse it in two or three other spots around the diamond, so your team is better.
Here's the problem, though.
There's no problem with that.
Money is not an issue here. It's not. Money is never going to be an issue with Cohen. If it's two choices of you either have Alonso or Soto, get both. And here's the other thing, too, is we're talking about bringing up the young kids soon. Like, we're talking about Acuna Jr. We're talking about all this. Whether or not they work out, Jet Williams, no, all this
you,
stuff.
I got you.
Like, we're talking about Bader, who's here for one more. This year, he's done. Marte's almost done. You know, McNeil, whether they trade him in the offseason. But their goal is to start bringing up these young kids. Like, that's not going to – they're not going to cost a lot.
All right. 888-808-1019, BT and Sal on the Fan. We're inside of our Town Fair Tire studio. Friends of Town Fair remind you that you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. John, Staten Island. What's going on, John?
What's up, my fellow Red Fox? How are you, buddy?
John, what's going on, dude? How you been?
I've been great. How about yourself?
Awesome, good? Man. Yeah, all good. Summer's going well. Thanks, pal.
That's awesome. I have an Alonzo point, then I have to ask you a Maris point if you want to do it.
Yeah, go for it. Absolutely. Go ahead.
Here's my Alonzo point. Number one, he should be paid as a DH because he's going to be a DH.
Mm-hmm.
And going forward, and as far as the selfish thing with the All-Star break, I would point out that no one's brought up is the fact that Brandon Nimmo and Lindor both got paid.
Yeah.
Would you agree with that?
Yeah, so meaning that it's less, I don't want to say,
words,
less
like
important.
It was important. If he was in the All-Star game, Scott Boras, he makes more money.
I agree with that. So, like, I understand that part. I think you're right about that.
He's already paid, so I don't know it's selfish. And he's obviously very awkward. I mean,
yeah,
like, there's no doubt about it. He's a very awkward guy.
He's socially awkward. And, yep, he's not a great soundbite.
Yeah, he is.
No, I know.
And, you know,
I've said that. Doesn't mean he's a bad guy.
I'm
he's just not a great
guy.
He's not good on a mic.
Yeah, I'm not going to hate on him for that. He likes to use words like awesome and great and excellent too many times.
Yeah.
The fact of the matter is if he, because it's a down season, if he will be willing to eventually be the DH, you could do it. I will also point out that when you say, just hear me out 1 minute, when you say, oh, well, what I would do is not spend the money on him, and I would maneuver everything around.
Yep.
Wouldn't that be the same case for the Yankees not paying Juan Soto $500 million?
The difference is Juan Soto's five times as good. It's not even close.
100%. No.
So it's not the same.
He's great. It's not the same. I'm saying, though, wouldn't the Yankees be better off?
No.
You don't think they could use more help? The last thing that I have to say.
Go ahead.
When I went to Marist, I'm 46.
Okay.
So I was there 4 or 5 years after you.
Okay.
And I worked at all those bars there. I don't know if they had them then. Did you go to Birdie's, Cactus Club?
I used to go to Birdie's all the time. I used to go to Cactus Club all the time. I used to go to Renaissance all the time.
I worked at all those places. Sidelines? You go to Sidelines?
Sidetracks.
And then they changed it to Sidelines. Yeah, I worked at all those bars.
Oh, man. Yeah.
And I used to work. You were a baseball player.
Yeah.
We were on the crew team.
Okay.
And I would close the bar.
Oh, jeez.
And then literally go to crew practice and then sleep all day and then have night classes.
Listen, John, who didn't do that back in the day? I remember we, right before we went on our southern trip to go down and play like 10 games to start our baseball season, we literally got back from the club. One of my teammates fell asleep on the toilet bowl. He wouldn't even go into the bathroom. He just fell asleep in the toilet bowl. And I remember we were walking, and it's early March, and we actually got back from Birdie's at like 4 in the morning. And the bus is waiting for us, and we're walking across campus with our bats, and like we're wearing our helmets because they didn't have the bat bags that they have now, and the helmets didn't stick in our bags. Oh, my God, what a clown show. Jeez. Oh, my God. Yep, hit all those bars. Yeah, kicked out of a few as well. You know, but the Soto thing, and let me just engage John for a moment, because I do get that to an extent. Now, it's not Soto versus Alonso. That's blasphemy at this point, really, is what it equates to. But you can make the case, and Sal's made this point, and it's a good one. Like, could you make the case that down the road, the Yankees would be better taking the 550 or 6 or whatever, and I'll use the same word that I applied with Pete, disperse that money in more spots on the roster that would theoretically make the Yankees better and deeper for a long time? Yeah, you could. But you could, but the difference is that Soto is so amazing and there'd be such a drop in whomever else you get that it could be a push or it could be a loss. And listen, I do think that, and to an extent, the Mets position players as well, but I don't really know what these young kids are yet. Like, I know Volpe, minimum, is going to be a good, is going to be an above-average major leaguer. Like, is he going to be a superstar? No, he's not Gunnar Henderson. He's not Witt. He's not that player. He never will be. But, you know, can I see Volpe making three or four All-Star teams and, you know, winning four or five Gold Gloves and, you know, having a year where he hits 30 home runs and steals 40 bases and hits 280? Yeah, 100%. He's a good player. So Volpe's cheap, Dominguez cheap, Austin Wells cheap, and obviously good. That matters here. You know, obviously Judge is locked in. You know, second base and Torres will be gone, so that's money there. And that's why these players, Luis Gil factors in here. That's why these players are so important to the Yankees to be the real deal. Now, not all of them, although you never know. Because back in the day, you know, Pettit, Moe, Birdie, they all worked out varying degrees. And then you accent the roster with guys like Tino from other teams, etc. But, like, it's paramount that even Spencer Jones, like, if you tell me that Spencer Jones becomes a first baseman who hits, even if he hits 240 and strikes out 180 times a year, but, you know, he bangs 30 bombs and he steals 25 bases, like, and he's making peanuts, the value there. And then the ability to go out and pay others is huge. Let me get Dan in Garden City. Dan checks in on the fan. What's up, Danny?
Hi, BT. How you doing today?
I'm good, Dan. How you doing today?
Good, good. I wanted to mention to you that I think your argument of the last 2 or 3 minutes is more reasonable to me when you talk about the Yankees and the Mets and how they spend their money than what I've also heard that I kind of was objecting to. Too many people are just too quick to say, well, the Mets can have both because Steve Cohen is a rich man and he can afford to just buy everybody.
Yeah.
Those are kind of crazy statements to me. Steve Cohen didn't get to be a very rich guy by just spending on everything and having everything that he even has a whim for. It, you know, this is still a business, and you got to be sure that Cashin is doing this now. And Steve Cohen will also be doing this going forward of looking at the bottom line, and the total payroll has to make sense to what the income is.
Mm-hmm.
And yep. Those are appropriate. What I expect from Steve Cohen is don't shortcut me and the team by saving a few pennies and making an extra $5 million. You know, know what your equation is.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, this equation has changed very much over the last 10, 15 years with the TV packages that they're paying the major league teams. The old equation, I'm an older guy, so I remember all these things. 20 years ago, the equation was the clubs used to make $200 million in revenue, and the rule was spend $100 million on the payroll and $100 million left over for other expenses and some owner profit.
Okay.
So this it's so much.
Wait, did they make that money from WGN? Is that where they made the money from?
WGN is.
Did you say the Cubs? You said the Cubs, right?
No.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you said the Cubs.
No.
My bad. Go ahead.
No, I said all baseball teams were using that equation of
spend
100 half your revenue on player salary.
I got you. Okay, understood. Yeah,
and that's where things have changed since the baseball contracts have come along. Now all of a sudden there's $500 million at play, and they didn't mind going up to $200 million. Because guess what? The owners were still making an extra $200 to $300 million in profit from the TV contract.
Yep. I'm sorry, Dad. I do think you tap into the economics of it and that there are, you know, there's parameters. Listen, let me let everybody in on a little secret. When you hear, you know, Cohen's going to get Soto and keep Alonso. You know what that's called? That's called hope. That's what they're selling themselves, the Mets fan. Ah, we could do this. We could get that guy. We could have everybody. It's fuel to keep them going. Keep the morale up. You know, Sal likes to whisper, Soto. I could do a little whispering too. Fuel. Hope. Morale. But it's not happening. That's not happening. Soto and Pete. 888-808-1019. UTS, the Ultimate Tennis Showdown, coming to New York. Experience tennis like never before. Top men's tennis stars like Casper Ruud, Dimitar Rublev, as well as Monfils Mounfis, and Tsitsipas, and more. That's the toughest read I've ever had. Including a live entertainment with the DJ on court, mic'd up players. It's a fast, furious, immersive, and interactive tournament. It's tennis reimagined. And it's Thursday, August 22nd, and Friday, August 23rd, at the iconic Sick venue. It's great. Forest Hills Stadium in Queens. Get your tickets now. Just go to UTS.live. That's UTS.live. UTS at Forest Hills, August 22nd and 23rd. All right, Jersey Mike's Yankees box office blitz. We've got a pair of field-level tickets to see the Bombers take on Texas at the stadium coming up on Sunday, August 11th. That's buddy Craig Carton on the radio call there. Right now, call the number 1-866-540-WFAN. That's 866-540-9326. That's your chance to win. It's all from Jersey Mike's, the official sub sandwich shop, the New York Yankees box office blitz, and the fan. Make sure you listen again. Tune in right here. BT and Sal, same time, roughly another chance to win. All right. 888-808-1019 is the number. You know, I tell you, Yankees back tonight, obviously. Mets played yesterday at 5:15. I don't know about you, but like when there's no baseball on at night, I hate when there's not a Yankee or a Met game. So even if I'm not sitting there watching every single pitch. But I mean, it's just so ingrained in my habits. Like when there's no baseball, I don't know. You know, I get down the rabbit hole. I start watching like old WWE shoots. I mean, I don't know. I watched part of the Tom Brady roast again last night on Netflix. That was wild. Oh my God, I missed the first part. Edelman was hysterical. I mean, he was good. Gronk was out of his mind. It was actually really good. But you know what I mean, though? When there's no baseball, I don't know what to do.
Keith, 5-hour shows at night here on the fan.
No, that's you. When I'm in the car, I always pop the fan on, for sure. I've texted Keith a few times while he's on the air. Yeah, no, that's a given. But like when I'm in the car, I'm not going to listen to the radio at home, you know?
Why not?
Well, because I got stuff to do.
It's better. You can do the stuff while you listen.
Yeah. No, I will once in a while. You know, I'm a big Arborvitae guy, as I've said. But, you know, when I'm watering those, sometimes I'll pop a beer. I'll put the Yankees through. Or a show on once in a while through the speakers outside. Water the trees a little bit. But nah, I just, you know, need baseball nightly. It is baseball mode. It's pennant race time. Let's go. It's fun. It's a big win for the Mets yesterday. Mike's in Brooklyn. What's happening, Mike?
BT, thanks for taking my call. How you doing?
I'm good, man. Thanks for making it, Mike. Thank you.
I by the way, a story about Strahan is disappointing but not surprising.
I don't know.
I mean, Tiki would never do that, obviously.
No. And listen, maybe Mike was just having a rough day. Maybe he was on the course with guys he was, you know, talking real business with. I don't know. But to me, and I can't relate to being that famous. I never will. That in demand, I never will be. But, you know, I don't know. Like, you're playing golf and there's a big Giant fan who wants to take a picture. What's the big deal? Jeez, take the picture. I don't get that.
I agree. I just to switch gear. Well, I mean, still in the football zone. I want to come back to the game, BT. I grew up a Jets fan, but then I also, you know, I couldn't forget about the Seau and Duerson and all that. Not to get into all that, but I do have a question because I'm looking at footage of the, and I'm sure it's not the first year, but preseason where they look like bobbleheads and they wear those padded helmets.
Yep.
Now, they've changed the rule for the kickoff. The momentum is going in this direction. And I think that people say, oh, what's it going to be, flag football, are disingenuous? And that's not going to be the case.
No.
But why don't we protect them as much as possible? Is there a reason why? Is there a performance reason why people don't wear the padded helmets other than just aesthetically it looks, no, it's going to take time. It would take time to get used to, and I'll listen to your answer off the air. Thank you so much.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that I have the right answer for you. You're not supposed to tackle with your head anyway, as we know, but, you know, sometimes heads get in the way, and I don't know, what if your helmet, or where the helmet would be, hits somebody's knee, which happens all the time. Now, even if you have a helmet on, you still might get concussed. But if you have a padded shell on, I would think that the chances to get concussed further or a more serious concussion increase. There's also micro concussions, and a lot of the offensive linemen go through that, just the repetition. You know, I think there's, I mean, I'm a sports guy, I'm not a doctor, but, you know, I've talked to Tiki a lot about this. When the movie came out, Dr. Amalfi, we had him on the show, you know, the movie with Will Smith. So I dove into this pretty deeply, as much as I can without having any sort of medical background. And, you know, the one thing that I never really knew, maybe I should have, I just didn't, you know, the trauma of the brain, the association with concussions in the minds of most is that it's some jarring hit, you know, over the middle, somebody gets depleted, bang, and their head hits the turf or their head hits somebody's knee. But it's any time the brain really just shifts, the shifting of the brain, which doesn't have to happen from, you know, a violent collision, as we now know. I don't have the right answer for you. I don't, except that, you know, you're not going to see those padded shells. Hoff, I got a question for you that I need. It's really about me, but I need your guidance. And I want to do this coming up next here, because last caller kind of walked me into a little bit about as a Jet fan and how we brought A.J. Dewey and all the things that Jet fans think about. How, and answer this next, not now. Think about it. How should I approach this season? Me. You know me. You know how I am. How should I approach this Jet season? Is it one where you just fully all in? Is there an element of trepidation? Is there the fatalistic view completely like Joe B? I mean, last year, it's not going to lie to you. I mean, last year just took, I think a piece of me died. It just rocked me to my core as a Jets fan. Watching that game on Monday night, I couldn't speak for three straight. My family was staring at me like they had to call the ambulance. I couldn't speak because I knew if I said something, I'd say the wrong thing. And my kids were there. They were up watching the game. How do I and other true Jet fans approach the season mentally? I want you to guide me, and I want to see if it adds up to what I think I need to do. 888-808-1019, BT and Sal here on The Fan. Now, New York City savings always been hard, but with unlimited welcome from Verizon, saving on your phone bill's never been easier, even if you're on a single line for a limited time. Single lines begin at just $50 a month. When you bring your own phone with AutoPay plus taxes and fees, that's a savings of $15 a month. And when you switch up, now you can save on the things you love, like Netflix and Max, all on the most awarded 5G network. Big savings in the Big Apple. Never been a better time to switch up to the network America relies on, but this offer won't last forever. So you got to jump in now. Just visit your local Verizon store. Switch up. Save big today. $180 BYOD promo credit and $360 local promo credit applied over 36 months for new customers with one new line with their own 4G, 5G phone on unlimited welcome plan required. Additional terms do apply. Auto pay and paper-free billing required in terms of congestion. Unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds, $10 a month for each MyPlan perk. Additional terms and conditions apply per perk.
Now, time for Bold Face Lie, Bold Face Truth with Brendan Tierney and Sal Licata.
Oh, yeah. All right, by the way, we're going to do that Jet thing after this that I posed to Hop Hop. What do you got, bud? A little bald face?
Yes, I do. Let's go. All right, Bald Face Lie, Bald Face Truth, because Sal's not here. I'm going to start with you, BT.
Okay.
Malik Nabers will score more touchdowns than Garrett Wilson. Bold face.
That's
truth,
a good one. That is a good one. Oof. It's a tough one. Breece Hall get the ball more than Singletary. That's how you kind of have to attack this question. It's not just like, you know, Garrett Wilson versus Nabers. I'm going to say that's a bold face truth. Hold on a second. I'll take that back. Jets will throw it more than Jones will. I'm going to say bald face truth. I do. I'm going to stick with that. I love Garrett Wilson. I think Nabers will be featured. I think he's going to be amazing. And yeah, slightly more. I'm going to say bald face truth.
Yeah, you never know who the weapons are going to be in the end zone. If they're at goal line, what the deal is. If they're going to try to run. If they're going to use a tight end a lot more.
Yep.
I do think it's a bald face lie because I just have this feeling that Nabers is going to be the focus on every defense's, you know, playbook. Hey, we can't let this guy beat us.
Yep.
Which is going to allow a guy like Jalen Hyatt.
You could look at it that way.
To go deep and find open space and find a way to get some touchdowns and get some big plays.
So I understand why. Less attention. You kind of sneak through the cracks a little, especially early in the season. I mean, you might be right, but all right. So we disagree. I'm going to say that it's going to be neighbors, but I got you.
All right. Bald face lie, bald face truth. Gleyber Torres will start at second base next time Marcus Stroman's on the mound. Bald face lie, bald face truth.
Yeah, I'm going to say bald face truth. I'm sure Marcus Stroman's not going to be a big fan of that if it happens. But you know, the one thing that you can't do if you made the decision that Gleyber Torres is going to be on the team and you didn't trade him at the All-Star break or didn't trade him last year when you almost did with the Marlins, and here he is, and he's trying to win. You know, you can only manipulate that starting lineup so much. Plus, he has hit pretty well. I don't know if now is the time to start, you know, jerking him around. You know, I'm not a huge fan. It's been well chronicled, but I'm going to say bald-faced truth. He will be on the field. How about you?
See, I feel it's a bald-faced lie because I do think that there's something there between Stroman and Torres. I believe, listen, this goes back to when Torres couldn't turn a double play and Stroman got all antsy about it and kind of showed him up.
Oh, yeah.
And now this last outing, you know, Torres, with the base running blunder, doesn't run hustle out a double off the wall, then gets thrown out at home. Marcus Stroman goes out there the next inning and has a terrible, terrible inning. And then next thing you know, Gleyber Torres is sitting. And I think that there's a correlation between Stroman and Torres sitting. So I would not be surprised if Stroman is on the mound and Torres is not at second base. He might play DH, but he's not on the field.
Well, we all saw Stroman's reaction, which I didn't have much of a problem with. You know, he's like, throw the damn ball or throw the bleeping ball, make the bleeping play. Like, he was very animated. Usually I don't like to see that, but in Torres's case, he's been so lackadaisical. I thought that Stroman had the right to do that, even though it's nothing that I usually endorse. I like that privately. But let's face it. I mean, if Stroman is that weak, which I don't think he is, that a base running mistake by Torres is why he gave up those numbers, then there's something really wrong with Stroman.
You know that Stroman's all about based on energy. That's supposed to be a run for him. It's supposed to be a tie game.
No, I know. But, and I'm not saying that there's no correlation, but if there is, that's not a good reflection on Stroman either. That's all I'm saying.
And final one for you. Ball face lie, ball face truth. We all know Jalen Brunson got the captaincy today. Mm-hmm. The 36th captain of all time for the New York Knicks. Now, Julius Randle is someone that was here first. Ball face lie, ball face truth. Julius Randle will sign his extension before the season starts this year with the Knicks. Bald-face truth, bald-face lie.
Half this might be the single most, for me, tough question that you could ask me about anything in New York sports. Honestly, anything else, I'm going to have an immediate opinion. Might not be right, but I don't know. I mean, I have vacillated on this a lot, I admit. You know, I love Randle. I've talked about why I'm not sure if he's a great fit with Bruns. All the things we've talked about, you know, you have all this money now committed to everybody. And if you do, even though, you know, Brunson left some on the table and others will follow here, you lost Hartenstein. You know, Randle is sturdy, big and strong. He could maybe play a little five with small ball, and he's a really good player. There's only so many big contracts to go around. And Hart's getting paid. And who else am I? Bridges is going to get a contract here. And DiVincenzo's peanuts around 11 or 12. I'm going to say bald-face lie. I'm going to stick with my initial thought that they will not marry him for the next 4 years.
I'm going to go opposite because I do think that bald-faced truth, because there's one commitment that's been made before anybody else. It was with Julius Randle and Leon Rose, World Wide West. They committed to him. They wanted this team to work around him, and so far they haven't wavered. For all these years, all like the, you know, giving the middle finger, you know, all the detractors that have been over the years, they've always had Julius Randle here, and I really do think that they're going to make it work, and they have the team. Like, think about it. They have this, you know, the Villanova 4. They have it now. But I think they're going to keep Julius Randle around here and make it work. So
I mean, they might, you know, they might, and if they do, I'm not gonna rant and rave. If I owned the team or I ran the team, I don't think I would. But I'm not even sure that I feel that way. Here's the thing, though, and I'm just popping up their salaries. So the why is this page though? Okay, that should work now.
Well, the internet is not great.
Well, it's just weird though. It's the Hoops Hype has like a new. All right, there we go. So there's only one more move to make because there's only so much money to go around. And you got to look at this. So OG, as we know with the extension, is starting this year. 36, then 39, then 42, then 45, then play big money. Okay. Then Randle, he's up after this year. He's got a player option for 30, but he's going to obviously decline. Brunson. On the cheap, 34, 37, 40, 43. Then you've got Bridges, who's going to re-sign, and he's got 24.9 next year. He'll be around 30 when it goes in. Josh Hart is over 20 next couple of years. You know, Mitch is still at 12. Dante's at 11 and 12. Deuce has the, you know, 4 or 5 each year. Can you really swing a max for Randle? I don't know that you can.
Well, do you have to swing a max,
Or 85% of a max.
Well,
I don't know that you can. So that's the problem, and that's their dilemma. And part of it's finance, part of it's actual basketball stuff, even though he is a heck of a player. All right, Hop, before I get back to the phone, so I posed the question before. I kind of know which way I'm leaning, but the Jets here, hey. I'm not a halfway in guy. You know that. Good or bad, I'm all in. You know, I'm going to give you my heart and soul on the air. Coaching the kids, I'm all in. I don't do anything half-ass, especially with my teams. It's things that matter to me. So, but after last year, you know, Rodgers' age, this being the Jets, if you were me, how would you attack this season mentally?
All right, I know what I would do, but for BT... For Brandon Tierney, one of the biggest, maybe the biggest Jets fan there is. I know Joe Beningo's up there, but I think Brandon Tierney's up there as well. You're all in. You're committed. This is a championship year, and you're backing your guys, and you're locked in, and you're looking for Super Bowl or bust.
I totally agree. I thought about this. I'm like, well, maybe you try a new approach. You kind of lay in the way. I can't. I don't know how. Jets are going to win 12 or 13 games. I believe it. I fully expect them to win 12 or 13, and I expect them to win the division. That's actually what I expect. I expect a home playoff game, and I expect the Jets to have a chance to get to the Super Bowl. I'm going to say it all year until it doesn't happen. Like that, I don't know how else to do it. And it's not now they're even with the unkillable stuff. I mean, it was rooted in hope and defiance. I mean, the stuff that was coming out of my mouth, I don't even know what I was saying half the time. But did I mean what I said? I did. I definitely did. Like, I wasn't going to tap out. Like, I just couldn't do it. But I knew, like, intellectually, all right, everything just changed. Can you string together a wild card? We're going to go down swinging. I'm not a loser Jet fan that thinks I'm always going to lose. I can't be that. And I meant it. But I knew things were altered. There is no reason why the Jets can't get to the Super Bowl. That's it.
Well,
except maybe the head coach.
I'm about to say that. Like, take it from me, someone who last year, I've been a doubter of this team the past couple of years, and I think it's because of the head coach. How are fans, like for me, myself, who's always been the pessimist with this Jets team, who knows that they can't get out of their own way, how am I supposed to approach it? Because I really don't want to go down that route of last year where, hey, we're going to be all in and within 8 plays or 2-4 plays.
But here's the difference, Hoff, and this is the difference like between me and you. With them, you're a Jets fan. There's levels of fandom. Like, I feel like you're more in on the Mets than you are on the Jets. Like,
Mets are my baby.
That's what I'm saying. So, to me, like, the heartbreak for you as a Jets fan versus the heartbreak for me as a Jets fan, it's different. I'm not trying to make it seem, I'm definitely not saying I'm better, but it hurts me more.
Well, because I'll tell you why. Because as a Yankee fan, like, and this has nothing to do with Yankees versus Mets or whatever it is. Uh-huh. It's just legitimately, you've won with the Yankees. You have that feeling. So if the Yankees win, great. If they don't win, I'm not really focused on that because the Jets are the one team that you have, and the Knicks obviously too, but the Jets are the one team that you've ridden and died with, and they haven't won anything. My teams don't win anything. So I don't want to get hurt any more than I already have.
Yeah.
So I'll just let the Jets just keep on jetsing, and I'll just stick with the Mets heartbreak. Just
chugging away. I think that's a pretty fair characterization when you incorporate the Yankees. The difference, and it was like that for a while, but the hunger's back. It's been so long, and Judge is in his prime, and you got Soto. Like, it's not quite Jet Nick level. It just can't get there because they've won, as you said. But it's I'm hungry with them, too. It's time to eat. It's time to start eating around here, man. 888-808. Johnny's get to the Final Four. Let's go. 888-808-1019. BT and South. So the question's for you. You're a Jets fan, all right? I mean, do you stick your toe in the water and say, let me see what it's like? Or do you just plunge in like the slobs that we are, doing a belly flop, getting wet, and probably getting hurt? BT and Sal on the Fan. The LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds, $10 a month for each MyPlan perk. Additional terms and conditions apply per perk.
Now time for Bold Face Lie, Bold Face Truth with Brendan Tierney and Sal Licata.
All right, by the way, we're going to do that Jet thing after this that I posed to Hop Hop. What do you got, bud? A little bald face?
I do. Let's go. All right, bald face lie, bald face truth, because Sal's not here. I'm going to start with you, BT.
Okay.
Malik Nabers will score more touchdowns than Garrett Wilson. Bald face truth,
that's a good one.
Lie.
That is a good one. Oof. It's a tough one. Breece Hall get the ball more than Singletary. That's how you kind of have to attack this question. It's not just like, Garrett Wilson versus Nabers. I'm going to say that's a bald-faced truth. Hold on a second. I'll take that back. Jets will throw it more than Jones will. I'm going to say bald-faced truth. I do. I'm going to stick with that. I love Garrett Wilson. I think Nabers will be featured. I think he's going to be amazing. And slightly more. I'm going to say bald-faced truth.
Yeah, you never know who the weapons are going to be in the end zone. If they're at goal line, what the deal is. If they're going to try to run. If they're going to use a tight end a lot more.
Yep.
I do think it's a bald-faced lie because I just have this feeling that Nabers is going to be the focus on every defense's playbook. Hey, we can't let this guy beat us.
Yep.
Which is going to allow a guy like Jalen Hyatt.
You could look at it that way.
To go deep and find open space and find a way to get some touchdowns and get some big plays.
So I understand why. Less attention. You kind of sneak through the cracks a little, especially early in the season. I mean, you might be right, but all right. So we disagree. I'm going to say that it's going to be Nabers, but I got you.
All right. Bald face lie, bald face truth. Gleyber Torres we'll start at second base next time Marcus Stroman's on the mound. Bald-faced lie, bald-faced truth.
Yeah, I'm going to say bald-faced truth. I'm sure Marcus Stroman's not going to be a big fan of that if it happens. But, the one thing that you can't do, if you made the decision that Gleyber Torres is going to be on the team and you didn't trade him at the All-Star break or didn't trade him last year when you almost did with the Marlins, and here he is and he's trying to win, you can only manipulate that starting lineup so much. Plus he has hit pretty well. I don't know, now is the time to start, jerking him around. I'm not a huge fan. It's been well chronicled, but I'm going to say bald-faced truth. He will be on the field. How about you?
See, I feel it's a bald-faced lie because I do think that there's something there between Stroman and Torres. I believe, listen, this goes back to when Torres couldn't turn a double play and Stroman got all antsy about it and kind of showed him up.
Oh, yeah.
And now this last outing, Torres with the base running blunder.
Uh-huh.
Doesn't run hustle out a double off the wall, then gets thrown out at home. Marcus Stroman goes out there the next inning and has a terrible, terrible inning. And then next thing you know, Gleyber Torres is sitting. And I think that there's a correlation between Stroman and Torres sitting. So I would not be surprised if Stroman is on the mound and Torres is not at second base. He might play DH, but he's not on the field.
Well, we all saw Stroman's reaction, which I didn't have much of a problem with. He's like, throw the damn ball or throw the bleeping ball, make the bleeping play. Like, he was very animated. Usually I don't like to see that, but in Torres' case, he's been so lackadaisical. I thought that Stroman had the right to do that, even though it's nothing that I usually endorse. I like that privately. But let's face it. I mean, if Stroman is that weak, which I don't think he is, that a base running mistake by Torres is why he gave up those numbers, then there's something really wrong with Stroman.
You know that Stroman's all about based on energy. That's supposed to be a run for him. It's supposed to be a tie game.
No, I know. But and I'm not saying that there's no correlation, but if there is, that's not a good reflection on Stroman either. That's all I'm saying.
And final one for you, ball face lie, ball face truth. We all know Jalen Brunson got the captaincy today, the 36th captain of all time for the New York Knicks. Now, Julius Randle was someone that was here first. Ball face lie, ball face truth. Julius Randle will sign his extension before the season starts this year with the Knicks. Ball face truth, ball face lie.
This might be the single most, for me, tough question that you could ask me about anything in New York sports. Honestly, anything else, I'm going to have an immediate opinion. Might not be right, but I don't know. I mean, I have vacillated on this a lot. I admit, you know, I love Randle. I've talked about why I'm not sure if he's a great fit with Bruns. All the things we've talked about, you know, you have all this money now committed to everybody. And if you do, even though, you know, Brunson left some on the table, and others will follow here. You lost Hartenstein. You know, Randle is sturdy, big and strong. He could maybe play a little five with small ball, and he's a really good player. There's only so many big contracts to go around. And Hart's getting paid, and who else am I? Bridges is going to get a contract here. And DiVincenzo's peanuts around 11 or 12. God, I'm going to say bald-faced lie. I'm going to stick with my initial thought that they will not marry him for the next 4 years.
I'm going to go opposite because I do think that it's bald-faced truth because there's one commitment that's been made before anybody else. It was with Julius Randle and Leon Rose, World Wide West. They committed to him. They wanted this team to work around him. And so far, they haven't wavered. For all these years, all like the, you know, giving the middle finger, you know, all the detractors that have been over the years, they've always had Julius Randle here. And I really do think that they're going to make it work. And they have the team. Like, think about it. They have this, you know, the Villanova four. They have it now. But I think they're going to keep Julius Randle around here and make it work. So
I mean, they might, you know, and if they do, I'm not gonna rant and rave. I'm still, even as I said, I was gonna say if I owned the team or I ran the team, I don't think I would. But I'm not even sure that I feel that way. Here's the thing, though, and I'm just popping up their salaries. So why is this page now? Okay, that should work now.
Well, the internet is not great.
Well, it's just weird though. It's the Hoops Hype has like a new. All right, there we go. So there's only one more move to make because there's only so much money to go around. And you got to look at this. So OG, as we know with the extension, is starting this year. 36, then 39, then 42, then 45, then play big money. Okay. Then Randle, he's up after this year. He's got a player option for 30, but he's going to obviously decline. Brunson. On the cheap, 34, 37, 40, 43. Then you've got Bridges who's going to re-sign, and he's got 24.9 next year. He'll be around 30 when it goes in. Josh Hart is over 20 next couple of years. You know, Mitch is still at 12. Dante's at 11 and 12. Deuce has the, you know, 4 or 5 each year. Can you really swing a max for Randle? I don't know that you can.
Well, do you have to swing a max?
Well, or 85% of a max.
Well,
I don't know that you can. So that's the problem, and that's their dilemma. And part of it's finance, part of it's actual basketball stuff, even though he is a heck of a player. All right, Hop, before I get back to the phone, so I posed the question before. I kind of know which way I'm leaning, but the Jets here, hey. I'm not a halfway in guy. You know that. Good or bad, I'm all in. You know, I'm going to give you my heart and soul on the air. Coaching the kids, I'm all in. I don't do anything half-ass, especially with my teams. It's things that matter to me. So, but after last year, you know, Rodgers' age, this being the Jets, if you were me, how would you attack this season mentally?
All right, I know what I would do, but for you.
For me.
For BT. For Brandon Tierney, one of the biggest, maybe the biggest Jets fan there is. I know Joe Beningo's up there, but I think Brandon Tierney's up there as well. You're all in. You're committed. this is a championship year, and you're backing your guys, and you're locked in, and you're looking for Super Bowl or bust?
I totally agree. I thought about this. I'm like, well, maybe you try a new approach. You kind of lay in the way. I can't. I don't know how. Jets are going to win 12 or 13 games. I believe it. I fully expect them to win 12 or 13, and I expect them to win the division. That's actually what I expect. I expect a home playoff game, and I expect the Jets to have a chance to get to the Super Bowl. I'm going to say it all year until it doesn't happen. Like that, I don't know how else to do it. And it's not now. Even with the unkillable stuff, I mean, it was rooted in hope and defiance. But, I mean, the stuff that was coming out of my mouth, I don't even know what I was saying half the time. But did I mean what I said? I did. I definitely did. Like, I wasn't going to tap out. Like, I just couldn't do it. But I knew, like, intellectually, all right, everything just changed. Can you string together a wild card? We're going to go down swinging. I'm not a loser Jet fan that thinks I'm always going to lose. I can't be that. And I meant it, but I knew things were altered. There is no reason why the Jets can't get to the Super Bowl. That's it.
Well,
except maybe the head coach.
I'm about to say that. Like, take it from me, someone who last year, I've been a doubter of this team the past couple of years, and I think it's because of the head coach. How are fans, like, for me, myself, who's always been the pessimist with this Jets team, who knows that they can't get out of their own way, how am I supposed to approach it? Because I really don't want to go down that route of last year where, hey, we're going to be all in and within eight plays or two, four
plays.
But
here's the difference, Hoff, and this is the difference, like, between me and you, with them. You're a Jets fan. There's levels of fandom. Like, I feel like you're more in on the Mets than you are on the Jets. Like,
Mets are my baby.
That's what I'm saying. So, to me, like, the heartbreak for you as a Jets fan versus the heartbreak for me as a Jets fan, it's different. I'm not trying to make it seem, I'm definitely not saying I'm better, but it hurts me more.
Well, because I'll tell you why. Because as a Yankee fan, like, and this has nothing to do with Yankees versus Mets or whatever it is, it's just legitimately, you've won with the Yankees. You have that feeling. So, if the Yankees win, great. If they don't win, I'm not really focused on that because the Jets are the one team that you have, and the Knicks obviously too, but the Jets are the one team that you've ridden and died with, and they haven't won anything. My teams don't win anything. So I don't want to get hurt any more than I already have.
Yeah.
So I'll just let the Jets just keep on Jetsing, and I'll just stick with the Mets' heartbreak.
Chugging away. I think that's a pretty fair characterization when you incorporate the Yankees. The difference, and it was like that for a while, but the hunger's back. It's been so long, and Judge is in his prime, and you got Soto. Like, it's not quite Jet Nick level. It just can't get there because they've won, as you said. But it's I'm hungry with them, too. It's time to eat. It's time to start eating around here, man. 888-808. Johnny's get to the Final Four. Let's go. 888-808-1019. BT and South. So the question's for you. You're a Jets fan, all right? I mean, do you stick your toe in the water and say, let me see what it's like? Or do you just plunge in like the slobs that we are, doing a belly flop, getting wet, and probably getting hurt? BT and Sal on the Fan.